You are listening to The Mark Milton Show with Smash, hosted by former Department of Justice Tax Division Attorney Mark Milton, the STL tax lawyer. Here's Mark Milton.
I should have been a cowboy. I should have learned to rope and ride. I'd be wearing my six shoe, riding my pony
on a cattle drive.
All right, Smash, you're listening to the Mark Milton Show with Yeehaw! The Smash, broadcasting from the Miller Furniture Studios, presented by STLTaxLawyer.com. I'm working the keyboard here today, working the podcast, roadcast.
You're doing well.
Trying to figure it out. Solly's not here today, so we're doing it alone here, Smash, you and I in the Miller Furniture Studios.
At least we're doing it.
We are doing it. Hopefully we're recording. I think it looks like we're recording.
Looks so like it's working.
Hopefully this won't be a wasted a chunk of time for us. But
looks good. I've seen these things before. It looks good.
Does that look good? What I'm seeing? It looks like it looks like one of those EKG monitors for your heart.
In a way.
But it looks stable, so that's good.
So we still got a pulse.
Yeah, we still got a pulse.
Right on.
How you doing today?
Buddy, I feel fantastic to tell you the truth.
You look good.
I'm starting to wear my shorts, man. My shorts are my freedom.
I've noticed.
My freedom is my shorts.
Yes.
So when the weather kind of breaks, then I start wearing the shorts, man, I feel free.
And everyone else feels terrified, but I'm glad you're feeling free free and comfortable. But you still have the puffy vest, so you like the I'm kind of with you. I kind of like wearing the vest. Short. I'm not a big shorts guy anymore.
You don't wear shorts, man?
I don't like to show off the legs. Yeah, they're not good legs. They're not good legs.
You have a professional thing you got to put forth, man. I don't.
Well, I obviously wouldn't wear them to the office. But even on a normal day, I enjoy
it's
a
your
nice,
office, man. Dress like you want.
I like to wear pleated gabardines to the office normally.
No.
I have gotten into these.
My mom made me wear those kind of clothes.
I have gotten into this very nice pant. It's you call them pants or pant? If you're describing
a
singular
pair.
Pants
is what you do. Pants are what you wear, pal.
I'm saying, if I'm describing a singular pair of pants,
yes.
Could I describe them as a pant?
Well, then you're just wearing one leg.
Well, but you're saying a pair of pants normally.
Yes, because it's two pair of legs.
But if I'm going to describe a single set, a pant to you, which I'm going to do.
Oh, that would be a pantalon.
There's a pant.
Pantalon.
Pant that Peter Millar makes, which I will admit is not a cheap pair of trousers. Trouser. But they are amazingly comfortable. You can dress them up. You can dress them down. Kind of a khaki look, but you can get them in all different colors. And the thing for me is I can buy them off the rack.
Yeah.
40-34. I'm 40-34.
Oh, man, that's pretty good.
You got that length. Because I've said before, most people, they think if you're husky, you need a 40, you're going to be short.
Right? I was husky as a kid. My mom forced me to wear corduroys, and when they rub together, your legs, it's like you're starting a fire, man. Warm down there.
Hopefully there's no such thing as corduroy shorts that you're going to be wearing anytime soon, because I think...
Do people wear corduroys still?
No, they don't wear corduroys.
I
have a pair that I wear like maybe around like... it's a good Thanksgiving fall, like a brown corduroy pant.
Corduroy?
A brown corduroy pant looks good. Let's talk Supreme Court Smash this week.
Go.
They've started the Supreme Court nomination hearings for Ketanji Brown Jackson. I don't know if you've caught any of this. It's kind of interesting the way the media is treating this nominee as opposed to the prior Republican nominees. I mean, they're acting like all these things are off limits, whereas, you know, with like a guy like Kavanaugh, I mean, they're going back to high school, college, talking about drinking beers and doing other things. And, you know, with this nominee, Judge Jackson, who currently sits on the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is a pretty big deal. I mean, that's a pretty high court in the land. You know, Republicans have to do this delicate tightrope of, you know, how hard do we want to push back against her, knowing that she's probably going to get confirmed, but also trying to at least make clear that, you know, she probably is more of a progressive, very liberal judge, and what does that mean? And I think, from my standpoint, I'm not that concerned about the nomination. I'd rather see the nomination go through. She's replacing an existing pretty liberal justice, Justice Breyer. So let's not make this an issue for the 2022 midterms. Let's do our due diligence. But you know, she's already been through the D.C. Court of Appeals vetting process, and we do have a clip from her. I'll give her a clip here if I can figure this out. Here's a clip from the hearings earlier this week.
I believe that judges are not policymakers that we have a constitutional duty to decide only cases and controversies that are presented before us, and within that framework, judges exercise their authority to interpret the law and not make the law.
Now, see, I agree with that. I think that's a very fine way of putting what the rule, but that's not what happens in practice. What you have today is you have activist judges who want to basically enact policy through their rulings. And a lot of people don't realize that. Like, one of the things about the Trump administration that I think will go down in history as helping to, you know, save our republic in a lot of ways is the his ability to get a lot of conservative judges approved and put on the bench, the Article III bench, which is a life tenure. So so federal district court judges receive a life tenure, which means, and that's the same with, you know, district court judges, court of appeals, any federal judge who's appointed by the president, confirmed by the U.S. Senate, has life tenure. The only way you can get removed is through the impeachment process. So you have to be impeached and convicted of impeachment and then removed, which happens very rarely. Yeah. So Trump was able to get through in a huge number of judges on the Article III, you know, district court judges, court of appeals, and then obviously with his Supreme Court, Supreme Court. Now, I'll tell you this, I'm a little full for my lunch at Rosalita's. I met Mama Milt over at Rosalita's. Sorry, you didn't get the invite. We had to talk a little business, so we had a little early lunch at Rosalita's. But that's a huge thing that he was able to accomplish, and Mitch McConnell deserves a lot of credit because as a leader of the Senate, he was able to get through a lot of those nominations and get those people on the bench. So, again, my point is she's replacing an existing what you'd view as a liberal judge on the Supreme Court. Hopefully there won't be a huge, huge shift in what comes out of there. But I don't really believe her that she won't, if given the opportunity, be an activist judge, because a lot of these people are pretty politically. I mean, if you get to that level, you're pretty politically astute.
She will be an activist judge because Biden is putting her in there to be an activist judge. This is just me. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'll admit it. This judge who is leaving, what's that guy's name?
Breyer.
Do you remember?
Breyer? Justice Stephen Breyer.
Okay. They went to him clandestinely and said, hey, pal, we need you out of here because we want to put in a couple of really liberal judges. We want to start with you so we can even up with Trump, all right? Because this whole presidency is about evening up with Trump, starting
trying to undo what
the
he
pipeline
did
on day one. All right. Yeah.
And look how that's working out for us.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so that's what I'm saying. This is a conspiracy. And I'm even of the conspiracy theory that this Justice Thomas is acting like he's sick. He ain't sick. They're buying him off. He's like 82 years old, buying him off. They're going to put a Biden appointed activist judge in there.
No, he's not.
How can you say no when you don't know? I do know. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Well, Clarence Thomas is very conservative. He wouldn't just let that happen. He's not going to just let Biden pick his replacement, first of all. Second of all, let me say this, man.
You know, the saying money talks. Money talks, man.
Well, I don't think he's one that's going to be swayed by money at this point in his career. But I will say that, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late, great Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was also approached at one point, allegedly, and asked, you know, prior to the end of the Obama administration, you know, would she consider stepping aside so that he could appoint her replacement, and was basically said no, and that's the seat that Amy Coney Barrett has now been filled by Donald Trump. So there is precedent for something like that happening. I do think that Breyer probably, you know, I would imagine he went to Biden and said, I'm thinking about doing this, and then that way he can influence who his replacement is. Because Judge Jackson actually clerked for Judge Breyer, which is kind of interesting.
I'm thinking that Biden went to him and said, hey, pal, we need to throw in somebody younger. Your time is up. They make $470,000 a year, these judges. Listen, we're going to keep you at that. In fact, we're going to throw an extra $25,000 in there to make it $500,000 a year.
I don't think that happened.
But it's the U.S. government.
The government's not going to pay.
U.S. government.
Where's the money going to come from? Biden doesn't have it.
Where's the money going to come from?
Beijing, Biden.
Wherever they want it to come from, man.
Well, I don't know about that, but I definitely think
they print money like nobody's business.
If he wasn't inclined to step aside, I'm sure there was
$1.3 billion to Ukraine. Good. Where'd they get that? They printed.
We just print it. Yeah, that's really. I mean, that's a whole other topic for another day. Now, Smash, I want to ask you something. So
don't try to be my friend now.
What is a woman? Can you define a woman for me?
Well, it depends on. I go by the song, the Bee Gees, More Than a Woman, mm-hmm. More Than a Woman to Me.
Uh-huh.
For example, when I see a woman walking down the street, I think more than a woman or needs to be more than a woman. And when I see that definition come to its fruition, then that woman becomes my wife.
Okay, so you kind of dodged the question. Here's what Judge Jackson said in response to the similar question.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not.
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about. Just last week, an entire generation of young girls watched as our taxpayer-funded institutions permitted a biological man to compete and beat a biological woman in the NCAA swimming championships. What message do you think this sends to girls who aspire to compete and win in sports at the highest levels?
So that was Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee with the questioning. Yeah. And look, it's an uncomfortable topic. It really is. But, you know, when you look at the story, what she's talking about, which is Leah Thomas,
yes,
who's the Penn State swimmer.
Yeah, spelled L-I-A.
She won.
From William.
She won the NCAA Women's Championship.
Nice. Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't know. I haven't read about where she is biologically, you know, as far as – what do you call it? Transitioning from a man to a woman.
Yeah.
But I mean, scientifically, biologically, she said, I'm not a biologist.
Yeah.
I mean, men have certain things that make them better athletes than women. Mm-hmm. Just, you know,
you
biologically.
That when Leo won the thing that you ever watch how, if you win something, all the other swimmers come around, congratulate you. Nobody came and congratulated.
Well, why would, if you were a girl, if you were a biological girl.
Yeah.
And you spent your entire life training for this moment, and you get blown out of the water by a biological male competing against you. How would you feel, Smash?
I would feel like Miss America getting blown out by a cross-dresser.
A cross-dresser?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be Miss America.
Right.
All right?
But
not
see,
Miss America, meaning you've missed the mark. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That kind of missed.
But see, this is the problem with our society right now. It's like no one's comfortable like even weighing in on this because if you say it's wrong.
Are you saying I'm dodging the subject?
Yes, you are. I'm not dodging it. I'm just calling a spade a spade. The outrage to me is appropriate. I just don't understand. Well, first of all, I feel like the transgender identity, identifying as that,
I don't know
what that means exactly.
Transgender?
Yes. Can you define that for me? Certainly. I'm going to make Smash it. You're late in your career. You could afford to be canceled. What does that mean biologically?
Transgender.
Uh-huh.
Gender is male or female.
Correct.
Trans is you are going from one to the other. So if you're going from male to female, you are transing on over to the... It's a transit from the male to the female.
Okay.
All right?
So it's not complete. Once it's complete, then do you become one of the other?
A woman or a man.
You're no longer a
transgender
man.
Maybe you know.
Don't put this back on me. I'm asking you.
Is, Is this Leah Thompson? Is that the name? Thompson?
I believe so, yes.
Leah?
Yeah. Penn State.
Penn State. Okay.
Nittany Lions.
Does she have a penile projectile still or what?
Oh, God. I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, she got a penile projectile. Then that means that she is a man competing in a woman's sport.
Well, and I think that's what people are saying.
It's kind of wrong.
Well, that's what people are saying. Yeah. Smash. That's the whole point of the controversy.
See, I didn't invade the...
But then there's also people that undergo procedures to eradicate themselves. What you described, I can't even repeat that phrase because I'm not even sure what that means.
Penile projectile?
They undergo a certain procedure to remove said projectile. So... So that's where I think we might have to cancel this show. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but all I can tell you is I understand the outrage and I understand why the question's asked, because there's going to be cases that come before the Supreme Court where you're dealing with situations like bathrooms or things. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I would prefer that my daughter is not in a bathroom with someone who is has male parts, but is identifying as a woman.
Yeah,
like I don't like that idea. But if you say that, then you're gonna be, you know, ostracized.
Say it, it's wrong.
You're gonna be that's what this is, I think. And yet you're competing at the highest levels, right?
Yeah.
So like this person, Leah Thomas, may have been just a mediocre swimmer if competing against men,
right?
But yet she wins the NCAA title in swimming. And defeats all these people who have been working their entire lives for this. And actually, Governor DeSantis, I don't know if you saw this, he basically declared that the girl who finished second is actually the winner. And he's really? Yeah, I mean, it's obviously like a political move, but like I kind of respect him for stepping up. It's just like, I think everyone's kind of thinking that.
Yeah.
You know, and there are like people who are outraged by it. But I think from a legal standpoint, if you're a judge and you're not willing to acknowledge that there's like a difference biologically between men and women,
right?
Which is what leads to our life. I mean, that's what leads to procreation and
the
promulgation of our society.
Exactly.
If you can't acknowledge that, then I have a problem with you being on a court. But I mean, she's a dime or dozen. That's the left.
Yeah.
The left has fueled these issues that like really shouldn't be controversial, but they demonize people who dare to question it or dare to push back and say, well, wait a second, this is kind of wrong.
Would you be all right if a Miss America contestant was like a Leah Thompson?
I mean, I think they've had that. And I think my reaction is the same. Like, if you're not, if you're losing to someone, I don't know, Smash, this is a topic. I don't know if we should do
this. You brought it up, my man.
I brought it up only in the judicial context. Yes. Like, that shows you how crazy things have become in the country, where you can't answer. It's like if someone said, what is a woman? Like, oh, it's a person who has female body parts.
Right.
Is biologically female.
Right.
That's a woman. But she can't answer
think?
That.
What do you think of the judge who did not give an answer to the
I think it's problematic. I mean, it's not going to disqualify her. I'm sure she'll still get confirmed. Yeah. But I mean, it's clearly dodging the question.
You know what this is, man? It's what they did when they tried to impeach Trump. It's what they did when they did Kavanaugh and those guys. It's just a waste of the taxpayers' money, because you know they're going to get in. You know Trump was not going to get impeached, and yet they went after him twice. How many millions upon millions of dollars did Nancy Pelosi put us out of because she had to have her vendetta vetted on the radio?
Well, and I think that's why I don't think the Republicans will let it go past this week. I think they'll move it out of committee and move to for a full vote, because why distract, if you're Republicans, from what a just disaster of a presidency Biden is overseeing right now? I mean, it's been a total disaster. This is distracting from his complete failures on the international level. Complete failures here economically, energy policy, inflation, all of it. So move on. If you're the Republicans, move on. The Democrats want a distraction.
Yep.
They are, I think, hoping that Republicans make more of this or try to be sticks in the mud and try to stop this. But if I were advising Republicans, I would say move on, yep. confirm her, and let's get back to how do we address all the crises that our country is facing right now, despite a completely incompetent president.
Well, President Biden went and saw Z or Chi or whatever the guy's name over there in China, right?
Right.
You think that was him showing that he indeed does have the...
Well, they did it virtually.
Oh, they didn't even go?
They did it virtually. They did a virtual Terrible. Summit. I believe he's going to meet...
Really?
They said they
They're
announced...
in Brussels right now.
They announced that he's going to meet with European leaders. He's going to Poland, I believe. They announced Jen Psaki has COVID, his press secretary. She's not going. What do you think? There's like a new variant now?
Psaki's not going?
You believe there's a new variant? Are you hearing this?
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
I mean, when I heard somebody say that, I just can't. I just can't. I just cannot. This is the boy who cried wolf, though.
Yeah.
Let's say there was something that comes along at this point.
Yeah.
That is truly, truly bad.
Yeah.
And truly, you know, a real, real risk of death and
right.
serious harm. Like, who's gonna go along with the restrictions right. anymore? No. After everything we were told about COVID has basically been debunked. The CDC just dramatically reduced the numbers of deaths among kids. Oh, it was an error. They said, a coding error or something?
As you know,
I mean, it's like
I have my head in the sand. I don't.
Are we
I
really
didn't know that
stupid though? Like, how do we allow this
really?
To happen? Yes.
That's
and
terrible.
Then it's like, oh, there's another. You know, now terrible. They're bringing Fauci back out because there's like a new
I
variant.
Saw that, yeah.
It's like seriously, enough's enough. Like, let's move on.
Yeah.
Anyone, you know, whether it be school locked, you know, shutdowns, school closures, masking, like, enough's enough. I mean, it's out of control.
Explain how the Republicans winning back seats in the upcoming election, which is, what, 8 months from now,
I
think it is.
November, yeah.
Yeah. So how does that play? I mean, what is
what would happen? What would be the effect? Well, my hope would be that Biden can go back to being more of a moderate and the Republican. Well, certainly if the Republicans regain the House and the Senate and Biden insists on pushing through a, you know, far left agenda, he's not going to get anything done legislatively. Uh-huh. But the problem is what's happened with the executive branch. And this really, I mean, really with Obama is when it really ramped up is, you know, using the executive power, whether it be, you know, he had the authority to shut down the Keystone right. pipeline.
Right.
He has the authority to reopen that pipeline. I mean, there are things you can do as the executive to impose your will beyond legislative changes. Now, one thing I think they have to deal with is tax reform. I mean, because a lot of the Trump tax cuts are set to expire at the end of 2022. And I think even Biden recognizes that our economy is fragile right now. If you really increase taxes, which is what would happen if you let those tax cuts expire, you'd have a dramatic increase in taxes for a lot of your
right.
small business owners, your job creators, at a time where we're already facing inflation, employers are already having a really hard time finding workers. And so if you throw another wrench in there, which is, hey, we're going to increase taxes by 5% and we're going to eliminate all these deductions that the TCJA provided, then you might have a lot of employers that say, screw it, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Right.
Why would I exert my energy, my capital, my efforts into trying to build a business and trying to employ other people? And that's what people don't understand.
Yep.
When you employ other people, you know, when you own a business, yes, you're going to make more money. You're going to be at a higher threshold, maybe taxable income wise. But like most cases, that the money they save on taxes is generally going to go back into the business. And so if you make it such that, you know, 50% of every dollar you profit on, not just you earn, but like every dollar you make a profit on is going to taxes, you might say, well, screw it. I'm just going to go back to being somebody else's employee. I'm not going to deal with all the headaches of being, you know, being an owner, being a boss. And that's what leads to a recession and maybe a depression, is that you create such disincentives for people to want to go out and take risks, build companies, create jobs, mm-hmm. that, you know, that's what I worry about is just some real economic malaise. Is that a good word?
Malaise.
Malaise.
It is a malaise.
Because I think we're getting close to that. There's just a fatigue right now when it comes to just, I mean, go anywhere. When was the last time you had like a great experience at a restaurant? Or, you know, you go, except for Rosalita's, of course. I will say that Rosalita's does a great job of providing excellent service. Because I think
we got taken care of there last week.
Yeah, we went last week and I went today. And like, but I'm saying like, you go to a drive-thru, you go to McDonald's, like whatever the case may be, and it's like everywhere seems to be struggling. You go to a part store. You go to a hardware store. Oh, we're back ordered. All this stuff. It's like, when does that stop? When do we catch up?
When you pay people an appropriate wage. Oh, right?
I thought we had
$15 an hour. If you ever lived on $15 an hour, you can't.
No, but it's never intended. Minimum wage is never intended to be a, you know, sustain your family.
What I'm saying is pay people a decent wage.
I think most people do. I think right now you could go get a job making, I don't know who's going to take a job for less than $15 an hour right now. And that's market forces. That's not being mandated by the government to have a minimum wage. That's literally market forces right now are such that you probably cannot hire somebody for less than $15 an hour.
$15 an hour don't make it, man.
So you don't need to mandate
it. You take 30% off of that for taxes, all right?
Well, you're not paying 30% when you're making $15 an hour. You're paying like zero. That's the thing. Really? We have a progressive tax system. So you're not paying anything probably.
That's why you're the St. Louis tax
lawyer. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, that's also a myth. Like, our tax system is progressive. So the more money you make as you climb up the tax brackets, your income gets taxed at a higher rate. So if you're over $400,000, every dollar above that, let's say, is getting taxed at 37.5%. But if you're under, I mean, these are round, I don't know the exact brackets off the top of my head, but like if you're under $24,000, you might pay zero. I mean, there may be no tax liability.
Really?
After you get your standard deduction and things like that. So that argument, the ridiculous argument that's often made of, oh, well, the wealthy don't pay their fair share, or, you know, they pay the same amount as a secretary. I mean, those are very distorted arguments that just aren't reality. And they don't take into account how our economy was built, capitalism as it is, what it does to lead to, you know, greater wealth and prosperity than any other system.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've experienced socialism in the last 2 years by the government basically providing a basic baseline for everyone through the COVID payments and all that. And you look around, how's life right now? It's not that good.
Oh,
right. And so like, we've kind of had a mini experiment in socialism where people are just given what they need to survive. And then there's not really an incentive to go out and work, and everyone's suffering.
There's no survival.
Everyone's suffering
level.
Right now.
No survival at that level.
Well, no, but there's survival, but it's not, we're not thriving. And that's what socialism is. You keep people at a basic level, like everyone's provided for.
Yeah.
So then there's no incentive to really go out and really work hard and move up the ladder. Right. And that's kind of what right now it's like, well, you could go out and get a job. It's like, well, if I'm going to get unemployment and, you know, I'm going to get these stimulus payments and COVID relief, then I'm good for now. So I don't know when that turns. I mean, I thought we would have already turned that corner, but clearly we haven't yet because there's still just a total... what's the word? It's just a weird thing going on right now.
We're in a whirlpool, man.
We're in a whirlpool. Yeah. Well,
Can I talk war with you, man?
War?
Yeah.
Let's start. I was going to take a quick break.
And do break another on set. Then.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Mark Milton Show with the Smash, broadcasting from the Miller Furniture Studios, presented by STLTaxLawyer.com. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.